This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks for joining us. I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Bonnie North. On a relatively quiet day in downtown Milwaukee, you can hear the horn blasting from the Milwaukee Harbor. Three times a day, the Lake Express Ferry makes the 2.5-hour trip across Lake Michigan, taking cars and passengers to Muskegon, Michigan, and back.
For the past 14 years, it's been the one ferry that makes the crossing from Milwaukee, having picked up where the Milwaukee Clipper left off more than 30 years before that. And for that time, the Lake Express effort has been led by former Port of Milwaukee director Ken Zalley. But this summer will be his last at the figurative helm as he plans to retire at the end of the season. We took the opportunity to board the Lake Express early one recent morning for a conversation about the history of the company, the ship, and the founder. Ken Zalley, thanks so much for having me aboard.
Well, it's our pleasure. It's always a fun thing to sit and chat with folks like yourself about Lake Express.
All right, so let's flash back about, 20 years. You were, I believe, heading the Port of Milwaukee at that point. Where does the germ of an idea for this ferry come from?
Well, from history, if you want to get down to that, yes, I was the director of the port for 18 years. And almost from the time that I came here to Milwaukee, I would look out at the lake and wonder why ferries weren't going across the lake. If you travel around the world and you had a body of water similar to this, you'd have ships running all over the place carrying passengers. So in doing some research, what I discovered is that there used to be a very robust ferry system on the Great Lakes, which pretty much died by the early 1970s. In contemplating it, the question arose, why did it die? And is it dead forever, or is it something that we could resurrect?
Well, and so let me ask you, why did it die? And clearly it was not dead forever, but let's talk first about why it died in the first place.
Well, I think the glib answer is the interstate highway system. Throughout the 60s, the interstate highway system was developed throughout the United States, certainly here in the upper Midwest, that gave people an alternative that they didn't enjoy before. And it was, at the time, a fairly rapid method of transportation. The ships who had been plying the lakes, carrying passengers, the railroad car ferries, were getting older, and it just kind of stopped. The capital requirements to rebuild those ships weren't justified, and so those ships passed from the scene, and people were left with the road alternative. I'm sure your listeners all understand what the drive through Chicago is like, that just became more horrendous as time went on. As they sometimes say, all things old become new again, and I think that's the case with ferry transportation.
Well, and so at the time, there was not a ship that looked like this working in the United States, was there?
No. There were some smaller, similar type ships that were passenger only, but nothing on the scale of Lake Express and nothing that carried automobiles.
Well, so to go from that idea to a working ferry that was taking vehicles across Lake Michigan didn't just take building the ship, did it?
No. It took a huge amount of research. In doing our research for the ferry, we looked at, I'll call them conventional ferries, the old slow speed ferries, such as the old Milwaukee Clipper that would take, 6 hours to cross Lake Michigan. And it became clear very quickly that that wasn't going to cut it in the market. So we had to balance really two things, the technology that was available and the desires that people were expressing in the market for what would be acceptable and what wasn't. The trick was finding a ship that could meet certain criteria from the point of view of speed and comfort. In doing our research, we actually went out and surveyed thousands of people to find out what it would, what they would be looking for. And one of the things we discovered, and wasn't what we expected, and that is Americans, and I think people in general, live their lives pretty much in 2.5 hour of vignettes. If you go to a movie, the movie's 2.5 hours. If you look at most of the airline flights, domestic airline flights, they're 2.5 hours. People go to a restaurant, it's somewhere around 2.5 hours. And so it was pretty clear that we needed to get across the lake in about 2.5 hours. And so we needed to come up with a technology that would do that. And there was nothing in the United States that would allow that. The older conventional ships were much slower. And so in looking at what was available from a marine architectural point of view, we really couldn't find anything. And so we kind of put the project aside, and not that we abandoned it, but we were kind of maybe before our time. I was on a business trip in Europe, and actually in Bologna in France, and we were standing on a dock, and incoming to the harbor was a ship I hadn't seen before, a type of ship. But as soon as I saw it, I knew what it was. It was a high-speed ferry. I was able to engage the ship's officers and talk with them and actually ride the ship over to Falmouth in England with them and then back again, and walked off the ship thinking, if I can build one of these in the United States, it'll work. This is exactly what we had been looking for. And that really initiated the project from the point of view of let's get serious about doing this. We believed this was doable. We were perhaps the only ones who believed it was doable.
I was going to say, I imagine there were plenty of skeptics.
Everybody was a skeptic. I mean, when you look at it from the point of view, we were looking at designing a ship that's never been designed in the United States, to build it with a shipyard that's never built one of these ships, to be run by a crew who had never seen one of these ships, to build it to Coast Guard specifications that actually didn't really exist. If we got through all of that, then, you know, we had a going project. So yes, to say that there was skepticism is certainly correct. And one of the things early on that we wanted was for this to be a private sector initiative. Although the Port of Milwaukee had authority to build and to operate a ship, it's not something that we felt a government agency should be doing. And so the other hunt in all of this was, let's find the money, which ultimately is what it came down to. But we were able to successfully cross all those hurdles and get the ship here.
Talk about who actually built this. Where was it built, and what kind of time frame did it take to pull it together to the point that it was ready to go?
You know, that's kind of interesting. As port director, I was I traveled a lot, developing business for the port. And on one of my travels, I ran into a guy, an Australian, on a ferry again. And he and I started talking, and it turned out that this was a man who was charged with going around the world and citing shipyards for an Australian shipbuilder named Austal. And his project, his next project, was to find a place in the United States to put a shipyard. And Austal happened to be the world the world's foremost builder of this type of ship. And so he and I spoke, and a year or two later, they, being Austal, decided to open a shipyard in Mobile, Alabama. They contacted me, we started talking at that point. Once we got really serious about doing this, it took about 5 years to put it all together. You could say we worked on the project from beginning to end about 15 years, though, on and off, but 5 years very seriously. And ultimately, Austal got the contract to build the ship and delivered it in May of 2004.
So when you see this ship arriving in the port in May of 2004, knowing that ferry service under the Lake Express name is going to start, I don't know how many weeks or months later, is this a nervous moment for you?
I wouldn't say it was a nervous moment. We had certainly anticipated this. I think the ship arriving here really changed the way that we all looked at it. The Lubar family are the principal investors, and I think many of your listeners would know them. And they're very oriented towards supporting the city and the state. And I think to a large measure, they looked at this as something that would be supportive. When we brought the ship up from Mobile, Alabama, it came through the St. Lawrence Seaway. It was too big to come up the Mississippi River. And we stopped the ship in Sturgeon Bay Shipyard to take off the extra fuel tanks we had put on and to clean the ship up a little bit from its long voyage. And so the Lubars got on the ship with me up in Sturgeon Bay, and we were bringing the ship down to Milwaukee. And we saw, as we were approaching Milwaukee, there were a number of helicopters up, flying around the city and what have you. And we started wondering what, something serious must have happened. And we didn't really know what. And then we got to the harbor, and there was the fireboat was out, and there were thousands and thousands of people lining the shoreline. And it dawned on us, this was all for us, and we were pretty astonished. We had no idea, but an even bigger tidal wave hit us when we brought the ship over to Muskegon, Michigan. We had built the two facilities, one in Milwaukee, the terminal there, and then the terminal over in Michigan. And before we started, we needed to make sure the ship could fit into Michigan and that we could set the lines properly. So we brought the ship over. And when we got into the channel leading into Lake Michigan, it's a 1.15 nautical mile long channel. It was lined on both sides with people. I don't know how many people, but they were 10 or 15 ranks deep for that mile, and they were cheering, and we were totally astonished. It's as close as we will ever become to being rock stars, I guess. And what it meant to these people really changed the way we thought about the service. To me, at least, profitability meant we could continue a service that meant so much to people. But what really the payoff was what it meant to the communities.
It's interesting. I mean, Muskegon is otherwise a pretty isolated kind of outpost on Lake Michigan. It's not really close to Chicago. It's certainly not close to Detroit. I wonder if there's a certain tie that Muskegon gets to a large city like Milwaukee that it would not otherwise have.
You know, it's interesting. There's always been a historic tie between Milwaukee and Muskegon. you know, the old car ferries ran back and forth, the Milwaukee Clipper.
The Milwaukee Clipper is still docked in Muskegon.
It still is docked in Muskegon. It's laid up. It's certainly not operating, but that's where it's spending its retirement. And that ship operated from about 1940 to 1970, running between the two cities. So there's a lot of history. And the thing that we have discovered is how many familial ties there are between our side of the lake and the Michigan side of the lake. There's a lot of families that are, I'll call it, divided by the lake. And this really helps people to reconnect. I can't begin to tell you how many times I've spoken to families who, you know, have said, wow, you know, the great thing about this is we can go see grandma, or we can go see, you know, whoever. And we wouldn't be able to do it as much as we're able to do it, you know, now that Lake Express is operating. And I'm certain that's what was happening back in the olden days, you know, with the Clipper and before that. And business people, we get the same kind of thing. Oh, wow, you know, we've done business on the opposite side of the lake for years. It's so nice not to have to waste our time driving through Chicago. And so, you know, there's this utilitarian aspect of what we do, but it's also fun. But it's really connecting people who want to be connected and stay connected. And to me, that's really the reward in all of this.
I feel like I should ask you a little bit about your own life on the water, because it has been a fairly extensive one.
Meaning I'm old, I guess.
It's the diplomatic way of putting it.
Well, as you know, I'm retiring at the end of this year, so it has been a long time. I've been in this line of work now for 53 years. Although I only look 25, I'm actually much older than that. But I went to the State University of New York Maritime College and came out of that licensed to be a ship's officer in the U.S. Merchant Marine. I was also a naval officer at the time. That was back during the Vietnam days. And I've spent my entire career dealing with ships. It's kind of amazing in that regard, both going to sea and then operating ships. And then, as I had referred to before, I spent 18 years as the director of the Port of Milwaukee. And so it's been a full career with a lot of variety in it, some interesting stuff happening along the way.
What was it that first attracted you to the water?
I was born and raised around New York Harbor, and so it was something that was always there. My father had a boat, and we would go down into the harbor, and I would see the ships at the anchorage or the ships passing in the channel. And it was just something that was always there. I always kid that it was a way to get out of New Jersey and stay out, but that's being somewhat unfair. But it was just something that was always attractive to me. I think the newness of it every day. We were talking before about problems. The nice thing about shipping is that the problems are different every day in different parts of the world every day. And so it was just something that I was compelled to do.
Do you see something different every time you're on this?
Yes. Yeah. You know, if we just talk about the weather is always different. Some days it's challenging. Some days it's just absolutely godsend. You know, I was asked here recently, is my favorite to ride the ship in the morning or in the evening? And I said both. You know, in the morning you have lovely sunrises on most days that, you know, the best of artists couldn't capture. And at night you have the stars in the middle of the lake. And you get to actually see the stars because there is no ambient light around. And so you see some beautiful sights in that regard. And it really gives you a different perspective on what's out there in the world. It gives you, I think, a broader perspective than just sitting on a ribbon of concrete and just wanting to get to the other side. It's the old story, you can really enjoy the trip when you're going by water, because you get to see all of that different stuff.
Well, and it's so interesting to think about, because we think about boats as being a slower version of transportation than cars, but this is the one case where it can be both slower and faster at the same time.
That's true. And, you know, I think as I get older, the thing that I've recognized is that what's been important in my life is the experiences along the way. And I think oftentimes we get put in a position where we're in too much of a rush to either recognize or enjoy those experiences. Having those experiences gives you different perspectives. And if we can use anything today, it's different perspectives.
Ken Zalek, thank you so much, and best of luck to you.
Thanks much. Been fun talking with you.
Ken Zalley will retire as president of the Lake Express Ferry at the end of this sailing season. You can see a slideshow from our recent morning aboard the Lake Express to and from Muskegon at WUWM.com.